Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 36, newly married, and all I keep hearing is, do you not like children? Or, are you sure you're not pregnant? Or, should get a move on with this baby-making stuff, you know? Yeah, I do know, thanks. But what I don't know is if I actually want a baby. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network where I speak to new mums, non-mums, baby wanters, baby rejectors, to figure out whether to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I visit Nurture Fertility in Nottingham, where I speak to James, who's a consultant, and Linda, the sonographer, who puts a thing up the thing.
So I'm just scanning through, having a good look all the way through, and I'm just going to measure this brighter area in the middle.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla.
Hello.
Now, Camilla, you have been telling me recently about the fact that when you're a mum, you pick up some extracurricular mum skills, one of which is apparently your ability to nail a quiz.
Absolutely. It actually started with 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown when Chester was tiny.
Okay.
I'd love to go on that version of Countdown, maybe not the real one. Not so good. I'm better than the comedians. But recently obsessed with Tipping Point. And I'm really good at it. Well, sometimes I'm good at it.
So is your theory that you just spend loads of time at home and therefore watch loads of quiz shows on TV, so now you think you're like an encyclopedia of knowledge?
Yeah, I mean, it's not all I do, but when Chester has a nap, I feel like, you know, I'm working my brain and I can have a cup of tea and I watch Tipping Point.
Tell me some facts that you know that you think might be useful if you go on Tipping Point.
Oh, God. Well, do you know what they always ask? They always ask things like, what Italian foodstuff comes in the form of fusilli, something, something, something? And I'm like, pasta! That's an example. They do that quite often.
Yes, you're okay with that one?
Yeah, I know pasta. Yeah, to be fair, that's one of the early questions. They get harder as they go along.
Okay.
You do get multiple choice later on. I'm quite good at, I think I'm just a bit jammy with the multiple choice, to be honest, most of the time.
But in short, you have applied to now go on Tipping Point because you think your knowledge is so fierce.
I mean, not because I think my knowledge is so fierce. I just think it'd be fun. And maybe I might be all right. I would love to win. Can you imagine? I was practicing to Mum this morning and she was laughing at me. I was like, I hope they say, what long-running soap on Channel 5 features Alf Stewart? Home and away! Home and away! I was saying things like that. They're the questions I need.
Okay, so you want to go on Tipping Point, but you want to send them the questions they can ask you and then win.
Yes.
Amazing. Watch this space.
And I do want a hug from Ben Shepherd.
Don't we all? Can you tell I'm just trying to kill time? Because what's about to happen next is when Linda puts a thingamer thing.
Yeah, and people can actually listen to the moment. Linda. Hi, Linda.
Linda, honey.
Linda, listen. Listen, Linda. I hope everyone knows that clip, otherwise they're going to be like,
what the hell? You need to Google Linda, honey.
Oh, Linda. Linda.
Linda, listen, honey.
Linda, listen, honey, honey, please. Honey.
Anyway, here's Linda.
Linda, honey, honey, listen,
So I've just pulled up in the car park at Nurture Fertility and I am feeling really nervous for multiple reasons. One is they told me I had to have an empty bladder and so I feel like I'm nervous that I won't be able to wee enough. I'm also nervous because I haven't shaved my legs today and my bikini line, despite having laser hair removal, TMI, it basically, like, after you've had laser hair removal, it kind of grows back with a few stragglers. The few stragglers are remaining. I haven't tidied that area. So I'm worried that I'm going to be judged for my pubes. And really, I suppose I should be worried about the fact that I'm about to find out how fertile I am. And if I do decide to go for the baby, how likely that is to even happen. So I'm about to go in. Wish me luck. So I've just been left to get in the chair. The room's really dark and it's really sciencey. And there's big stirrups that I think I've got to put my legs in. It's freaking me out a little bit. And there's also a massive wand on the computer, attached to the computer next to me, which looks like that kind of wand. And they ain't going to be a fun one, I imagine.
So, no issues with latex that you're aware of?
Nope.
No. Do you know the first day of your last period?
It was, oh God, it was about a week and a half
ago. So about 10
days
in?
Yeah.
Okay, and do you have a 28-day cycle?
ish. I came off my pill in about 6 months ago, and so since then it's been varied, but okay. It seems to be getting more back towards a 28-day cycle.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
So today's scan is just a baseline scan, just checking that everything looks as it should.
Okay.
So I'm going to be having a good look at the uterus, doing a 3D sweep through the uterus, checking that the cavity shape looks normal.
Okay.
Then I'm going to be looking at the ovaries and counting up the immature egg sacs in the ovaries, okay. Which will give us an idea of your ovarian reserve.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't hurt.
Okay.
It's not as bad as having a smear test.
Well, that's good.
All right. So, but it will be a bit cold because of the jelly.
Yeah.
Okay. So just pop your legs up. So a bit of cold jelly there. Okay. A little bit of pushing. Right.
Oh my God, that's so bizarre.
So, first thing that we can see, this is your uterus here.
Yeah.
Your uterus is tilting forwards, which is what most ladies do.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just scanning through, having a good look all the way through. And I'm just going to measure this brighter area in the middle.
Okay.
That's the bit that you shed when you have your period.
Right.
But that's also, we like to know this thickness for when we're popping back embryos.
Right, okay.
So that's fine. So that's measuring about 5. We like it to get to about 7.5 to 8 and above when we're popping embryos back.
Right, okay.
And just doing a 3D sweep through.
So weird because I feel like I'm looking at it on the screen, but I don't even really know what I'm supposed to see.
So far, so good.
Okay.
And this is a view that we can't get with just normal scanning.
Yeah.
So can you see how the cavity shape is, this brighter area?
Yeah.
Starting to come in. And that's a sort of upturned triangular shape.
Yeah.
So that's a normal shape.
Okay, that's good. Normal is good.
We like normal and average. So just scanning through the uterus in the other plane, just checking that all looks fine. Lovely. So I'm just going to point over to the left ovary now and look for the left ovary. If you're going to struggle with one, it'll nearly always be the left one. Sorry, I'm pushing a little bit.
That's okay.
You're okay?
Yeah.
So these little black bubbles that you can see, they're the immature egg sacs.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to be counting up.
Why is it that you would struggle with the left side rather than the right?
It's all to do with the way the bowel lies.
Ah,
so
okay.
The bowel pushes it higher and quite often lies above it. And ultrasound can't see through bowel.
Ah, okay.
So I'm just going to measure that now. So it's about 21 in that side.
Okay.
That's quite a high-ish count.
Okay.
So, but what we're able to do is from the number that we have, the doctors then determine what dose of medication you're going to be put on.
Right, okay.
So, because if you've got not many, we give you the rocket fuel.
Yeah.
If you've got lots, we dampen it down a little bit.
Right, okay.
Okay, so it just tailor makes it that little bit more specific to you. And now poking over to the right side. And this looks like it's a dominant follicle just starting to grow,
okay.
Which we would expect to see on about day 10.
Okay. So does that then kind of suggest that the cycle is regular?
We can only suggest, if we monitored it, if we followed it, we'd see that it was growing.
Yeah.
Now, a simple fluid area can look exactly the same as a follicle.
Okay.
So without doing bloods and without monitoring the growth, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But asking you where you are in your cycle gives us that information to think, actually, well, I should be expecting to see one.
Right, okay.
So we assume that that's just a normal follicle.
Fine, okay.
At this stage.
Yeah.
So counting up again. So I can clearly see 16 is about, could be a couple more, but certainly nice count.
Okay.
So that's all done.
Okay.
Everything that I can see there looks fine.
Okay, that's good. That's a relief.
So we can't check your tubes with just a normal ultrasound.
Yeah.
But there's certainly nothing there, obvious.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the time.
Amazing.
Well done.
Thanks. Phew. Humbrief.
So I'll get a report written up.
Okay.
If you head back to the waiting room when you're ready.
Yeah.
And James will see you again.
Okay. Great stuff. Thank you.
So how soon after that recording did you call me to show off about your follicles?
I was just ringing you with what I thought you would feel was excellent news, seeing as you want a cousin for Chester, that I had many follicles.
Did you also ring me a second time?
Yes, I did, and I thought you were going to forget that. So, no, I text you. So I'd spoken to you in the day, like I rang you almost immediately afterwards to be like, guess what? Guess how many follicles I've got? Yeah, and that's more than average. But then later in the day, I WhatsApped you and was like, hey, guess how many follicles I've got? And you were like, 37. Like, how do you know? Oh, we did this already. Ooh.
Precise. Oh, no, it is really nice though. I mean, obviously, you know, there could be other complications, but to know that that's
yes.
a good shot.
Well done to my womb.
Well done to your womb.
Okay, so she's just left the room for me to get changed. I actually feel, I feel really emotional. Like, I don't know. I think my periods have been really irregular, and I'm going to ask James, who's the kind of fertility expert, about this. And so I was kind of panicking that, oh my God, my periods have been a bit weird since I came off the pill. Maybe this means that there's something wrong. And, you know, having spoken to other people who they thought everything was normal and then it wasn't, to find out that at this stage everything looks normal is like mega relief. And so it's kind of made me go, maybe I do want this more than I think I'm letting on that I want it, because I literally feel like I'm going to bore my eyes out. Okay, so I'm going to stop recording now, because I feel like a mental person. If anyone's walking past the room, they'll be like, why is that woman in there talking to herself? And I then am going to go and chat to James, who is the expert, who will give me the kind of full lowdown a bit on my situation and in general. So, phew. The situation is that me and Dan, we've been together for 3 years. We got married in February. He is 4 years younger than me. We, at the minute, we don't live together still because he works in Bristol through the week. And I feel like I want to wait, but my age is telling me that maybe I shouldn't wait. And so I'm doing this podcast to go, okay, well, do we definitely want to have a baby? And if we do, what does that look like?
So a starting point is, what's your menstrual cycle like? Is it regular? Because if it's irregular, it's most likely that you're ovulating. Are you having any pain on sex, pain on intercourse? That may signal conditions like endometriosis that may have an effect on fertility. Talk you through lifestyle. If people are overweight, need to lose weight. If they're smoking, need to stop smoking. Just be as healthy as possible. From a male factor side, you don't jump in straight into a semen analysis. The recommendations are that people should be trying for 6 to 12 months before intervening with investigations. So the 6 to 12 months depends on age. And if you are older, it is important to intervene sooner, because if you say to somebody who's 39, 40, go away for a year and try, you may have halved their success rates in that time frame.
Yeah.
So it really does depend on the individual. If you've been trying, say, 6 months, if you're over 38, been trying 12 months, if you're between 21 and 36, the GP should do some baseline tests.
Okay.
And in the man, that would be a sperm test. In women, tests of ovarian reserve, tests of ovulation, chlamydial screening. So those are the baseline things that we will do prior to someone being referred up to the fertility clinic. Should be done in general practice.
Okay.
And then once you get to a fertility clinic, you sit down and you assess all the results. You look at the sperm count. If there are problems with sperm, it may be a case of straight to IVF. If you've got a low count or really poor motility, IVF is the best form of treatment. If it's borderline, you know, are there things that we can do with lifestyle to improve things? Diet, weight, alcohol intake, smoking.
I was going to ask that actually. So I don't want to sound like a wino, but obviously alcohol intake. I know from people who have done IVF before that their diet changes completely. They barely have any alcohol. They go kind of super healthy. How much does it have an impact on it?
I think it's almost impossible to give you a percentage.
Yeah.
That's
fair enough.
I think it is important to say that lifestyle factors are important. So smoking, 70-odd different toxins in cigarette smoke that will affect egg and sperm development, damage DNA. When you're looking at diet, is there a fertility diet? If you go onto the internet and type it out, you will find lots of things and lots of supplements to take. And funnily enough, those people, this is a very cynical view, and I was once told cynicism is the last resort of a realist, is that, you know, if somebody says that this is the great diet and these are the great supplements to have, they're probably marketing them as well. I think a sensible, healthy diet, maintaining a healthy BMI, you can go to extremes, and people do. And I think my mantra is you fit fertility into your life, not the other way around, because you have to maintain a sense of perspective, your sanity, and looking after body and soul is very important, and minimizing stress, and you want to be as fit, as relaxed, and as healthy as possible coming into fertility. So I, you know, making that decision when to start trying, I don't think I've got any answers for anybody about that one. If people are thinking about it and have made the decision to start trying, then my advice is get on with it.
Yeah.
And as you get older, the advice is get on with it, because when you're looking at success rates with assisted conception, if you need that, the success rates get lower with age. You can plot graphs of IVF outcome. Unfortunately, there is a plateau, and then around 37, 38, you start seeing a drop. By 40, your success rates with IVF are halved compared to 35.
Oh, okay.
At 40, say 20% success rate. At 44, 2%. 45, we haven't had a baby that's been conceived with own eggs over 45.
So at the minute, I feel like I'm trying to work three jobs at once. I am doing one full-time freelance radio gig. I'm doing my own part-time radio thing for another station. I'm teaching yoga, and I've also agreed to some extra freelance radio stuff. I'm so exhausted. So I asked my mum to look after Troy, the dog, and I took him over there yesterday, and I spent the last 48 hours pretty much being utterly exhausted and not having a lot of patience to play with him and do the nice stuff. But as soon as he's not here, and even though I'm exhausted and he'd be whining and it would be annoying me, I miss him. Is this how you feel about a child? Because I don't feel like I've got the energy to deal with it, but also I miss him.
So traditionally, if I was gonna, you know, if I fit into the average kind of camp of IVF, if I did it, then what would the...
You'd be here, you'd be looking at a 40 to 50% success rate.
Okay.
And we're fortunate. We, if you look at the HFEA statistics, we're two ticks above the national average. I think we're one of about two or three clinics that are above, consistently above the national average. So, you know, IVF has got more successful, but it's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
Again, when I started doing IVF in the early 90s, we had 20% success rates. Working in the fertility world, you will see people who will go off and have fertility tests before they start trying.
That's me.
And end up, you know, I can say, I've spoken to Linda, she told me you've got a very good ovarian reserve.
Okay.
But what happened if that was really bad?
Yeah, I know.
What would you do? And, you know, I've seen people come to me and say, I've got a really bad ovarian reserve, and 6 months later they're pregnant. Ovarian reserve tests, counting the small follicles you have in your ovary, doing a blood test to assess your AMH level, just tells us that you'll respond well in IVF. Doesn't tell me when you're going to get pregnant, doesn't tell me when you're going to go through the menopause, unless they're really, really bad.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell me how good your eggs are. You could have a lovely ovarian reserve, but duff eggs.
Yeah.
So the only way for me to find out what your eggs are like is put you through an IVF cycle, try and fertilise them, the sperm, create an embryo. So there are loads of steps. Yeah, I always use the ovarian reserve tests and say they're like the petrol gauge in the car. The higher the number, the more eggs you've got. Doesn't tell me what's in the petrol tank, whether it's 2-star, 4-star, which shows my age. diesel. A mixture of both if you're my wife. So tests have limitations. For you, if you and your partner are living apart, yeah, you will restrict the number of times you can have sex in a month.
Yeah, have pointed that out.
Yeah. The numbers of soldiers I've seen who come to me and say, we've been trying for 18 months and haven't conceived, and then I go, yeah, but I was in Afghanistan for 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
Probably might have had a bit of an influence.
So after my scan, I was feeling quite smug about my ovarian reserve because Linda said it was
37, I think.
So what would be standard for someone my age, or is there not, no such thing?
There is, and there are two tests that we can do, a blood test or a scan.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a mean for a population, so you're probably there, okay?
Okay.
Average.
Okay.
So you're a normal AFC, maybe between 15 and 20.
My other question, which I don't know if you do it here. So let's say at the minute, you know, my follicles are looking good. If we decided, okay, well, we want to freeze an embryo and hold off for a couple of years and then...
So fertility preservation, mm-hmm. Yes, we do. We do that in two settings. We do it for the cancer patients, so people coming through having chemotherapy for breast or hematological malignancy.
Yeah.
And people will do... is known as social freezing. So you can freeze eggs, and they are yours.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, the success rates from egg freezing are around 30 to 35%.
Okay.
The more eggs you freeze, the more likely you are to have a baby.
Yeah.
So each egg potentially has about a 4% chance of causing a pregnancy.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So if you go through two cycles of egg freezing, freeze 20 eggs,
okay.
Maybe around a 60% chance.
Yeah.
If you freeze an embryo, a third party is involved in the storage of that embryo. So if you were to split up and your partner removes consent from the storage, those embryos have to be discarded.
Yeah.
So that's one of the downsides of freezing embryos, especially in fertility preservation for cancer.
Yeah.
If you are single and going to freeze eggs, the best time to freeze is before you're 35,
mm-hmm.
Because the success rates are better. Difficulty is, they can only remain in storage for 10 years by law.
Yeah.
So if I'd seen you at 30 and you're saying, I've got my career, those eggs would have to be used by your 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm. So let's say today I leave here and go, right, me and Diane decide, yes, we're going to go for it. If in 6 months of trying... it hasn't worked, is that when I should then think about us?
Certainly, Dan should have a semen analysis after 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends whether you're cycling, if your period's coming every month.
Yeah.
You're not overweight. You've started to take folic acid. It depends how anxious you are.
Okay. As to
whether you do it after 6 months or a year.
Fine. Okay.
But if you haven't conceived after a year, yes, you need to seek help.
Okay.
The ovarian reserve is good, your endometrium looks normal, and Linda thought she saw a follicle. Right ovary contains a 13mm follicle. Nothing in your history that would concern?
No.
No gynae problems?
No.
Smears up to date?
Yeah.
Are you on any medication?
No.
You should start taking folic acid and vitamin D.
Okay.
All women trying to conceive should take folic acid. It doesn't make them more fertile, it protects against spina bifida. Vitamin D, Department of Health now say everybody should be on vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
I do a clinic with the endocrinologist and they say when the clocks go forward, stop taking vitamin D. When they go back, start taking it. When it's sunny, get outside.
Yeah.
And being healthy. Don't binge drink, don't start smoking, have a healthy diet.
Okay. Food for thought.
Mine are now 24, 22 and Freddie will be 20 on Saturday. And when you're in the Blues Kitchen in Shoreditch at 3 o'clock in the morning with the three kids, you think, oh, that's actually quite cool.
Yeah.
we've achieved something.
Now that bit about having children, so when they're grown up and you go on a night out with them and you go for drinks together, that makes me want to have a baby.
Definitely.
No, actually that doesn't. That makes me want to have an adult.
Can you remember though, when we went to London with Mum and Dad and we went to see
The Commitments?
The Commitments. Yes. And afterwards we had like real open chats with Mum and Dad, to the point where we were talking about like if we'd ever taken drugs.
Oh yeah, that was intense, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was intense, but I felt like it was really like we were very open because we were all adults now.
Yeah, it was like we were all on the same level, like we were mates rather than you, my mum and dad.
Although Mum was still looking at me like, you've smoked weed. You did what? My child?
But yeah, that's true. So yeah, obviously if I have children, they will never do any drugs.
No, neither will Chester.
Yeah, okay, good.
Were you surprised at how emotional it made you to find out that actually your chances were pretty good from what they checked?
I was totally surprised. I remember sitting in the waiting room before I was about to go in and have the scan and feeling two things. One, almost like I felt like I shouldn't be there, like the other people that were around me were maybe going through like actual fertility struggles. Mm. And so I kind of felt a bit like, I shouldn't be here. I feel like I'm being really self-indulgent. But two, also sitting in the waiting room thinking, what am I going to do if they tell me that it's bad and maybe I can't have kids? Because the thought of that, even though I've said in previous episodes, I almost wanted the choice taken away from me. I realised in that moment, I really didn't. And I wanted to be able to, if I could, then potentially make the decision to be like, yes, I do want to have children.
Yeah, and you'd gone on your own. So like, if you were to get that news that it was bad, I think it would have hit you like, wow, maybe I shouldn't have been so flippant about coming. Like, yeah. I don't know. But it was nice to hear you get emotional about it.
Oh, stop it.
No, it was though. Stop. And it's really weird because I don't think I've really thought that it is going to happen until now, and now I do think it's going to happen.
Oh well, I might kill all your hopes and dreams with my percentage this week.
No, I don't think you are. I think I could just say your percentage for you.
Go on, what is it?
I would say 95.5.
Oh no, probably 92.8.
Let's face it, even if I'd said the right one, you would have disagreed with me.
Yeah, true. I always like to win.
Exactly.
I get more follicles than you.
I'll be, who knows? I don't know how many I've got.
I've got loads.
Can we share?
Yes, absolutely. You're my sister. I love you. Please have one. Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at To Baby or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it really help us out, but it will guarantee that if someone sticks a thing up your thing to see if all the things are fit for purpose, it won't be too painful. Join me next time when I try to decide whether to baby or not to baby.
On the final To Baby or Not To Baby.
Looking back on being a kid, it was great. Thanks to Mum and Dad, like that, they made it great. So I feel like we could do that for a kid and give them a good little home and a good little life.